Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Pastor Avi. I'm the Creative Arts and Operations Pastor, which is just a way to say that I do worship, and I do all the behind-the-scenes things here at Hope City. And I'm very excited to share with you this morning. We are entering into our next sermon series called Heart Posture. And if you have been at Hope City for any amount of time, you probably have heard that we're going through the book of Matthew. And we finally made it to Matthew 15, everyone. And that means we're officially halfway done with Matthew. So just halfway there, which means we started in fall of 2021, which means we're looking at fall of 2029, everyone. We are halfway. Fall of 2029, we get to go to a new book. But let me tell you, this discipline, this, I don't know what we want to call it, honing in on Matthew has been so good. It has opened my eyes to some of the things that Jesus said that I had never even thought about before. And so I'm excited to continue that through heart posture. And as we look at Matthew 15 through 16:4, Jesus is trying to teach people, teach his disciples, teach the Pharisees, teach the ones that are choosing to follow him, that what is in your heart is what Jesus is concerned about. He really doesn't care about your actions. He really doesn't care about the words that you say. He cares about the heart posture behind them. And so we are going to learn through this series how we can posture our hearts towards God. And so we're going to just, I forgot again. Listen, Hope City is building the discipline of having our physical Bibles with us. So if you have your physical Bible with you, raise it up. We do a Bible declaration every week. And let's do it together. This is my Bible. It is the very word of God. Every word in this book is true. Inside this book is the very direction for my life, and I choose to follow it. This is my Bible, and I love it. Amen. All right, we're looking at Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. I'm going to give everyone just a second to turn there, or if you have your phone, click there. That is okay. All right, let's read it together. Some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our," I'm going to emphasize some words here, "our age-old tradition? For they ignored our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat." And Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance," God says, "honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say, they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel out the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas and commandments from God.'" Whew. Listen, God has been preparing me for months to be able to stand on this stage and speak this message today. Can I just talk to you a little bit about the journey that I've been through? Is that okay? Okay, so 4 months ago, God said, "Hey, Avi, there is an idol that has been standing in your life since you were 12 years old, and it's time for it to come down. And that idol's name is fear of man." And I said, "Oh, dear Jesus." If you don't know what fear of man is, because it is kind of an off kind of wording for it, it could be seen as people-pleasing. It could be seen as worrying about what other people are going to think or say about you. It could be like you keep your mouth closed so that like you don't make waves or ruffles. Since I was 12 years old, fear of man has been my shield that I hid behind. And God said 4 months ago, it's time for that to fall. And you've probably heard a little bit about Pastor Shree's story. Pastor Shree, for the last 2 years, have been walking through the same thing. And for 2 years, I heard her talk about it and said, that is not me. And 4 months ago, God said, that is you. And so for 4 months, God has been working on tearing down this idol of fear of man in my life. And often I have to look at it and say, fear of man, you must bow. Fear of man, you must bow. Fear of man, you can't stand. In October, when this message was put on our calendar and I was put to speak it, I did not know the process that God had in store for me to get to right here today. But it's because of that that I can speak with confidence that today God is ready to tear down idols, that today God is ready to expose some of the things that have become idols in our lives. And I want to break down this chunk of scripture. I have three parts, and I pull out some things that I noticed in each part. So we're going to hone in on three chunks of it. So first, we're going to hone in on Matthew 15, 1 through 2. And it says, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. And the first thing that I pulled out is if our heart posture is wrong, we can make idols out of traditions, rules, or regulations. And let's talk about it. What is an idol? What does it mean to have an idol in our life? An idol is anything that gets put above God. If something gets our eyes taken off God, it's become an idol in our life. And so it's easy for us to make idols out of traditions, rules, and regulations. In the Old Testament, and I said this first service, and I'm still, just thank you so much, Jesus, that you came to satisfy the laws of the Old Testament, because there were 613 laws and regulations. There were 613 laws that God gave his people to abide by so that they could be in right standing with him. And if they broke any one of those 613 laws, they had to go make sacrifices so that they could be in right standing with God. Can you see, I can see, how easy it would be to lose track of 613 laws and regulations, lose track from what came from God and what came from man, trying to bridge the gap between God's law and us to make it easier to follow God's law? I could see how that could get a little twisted. A couple years ago, as I was writing a sermon for Christmas, God gave me a lot of grace for the Pharisees. Because in my mind, all they wanted to do was stay in right standing with God. All they wanted to do was make sure all 613 rules were followed so that they could be in right standing with the Father, that they could have relationship with the Father. And so in order to do that, they said, okay, so I need to do this. So in order to make this law happen, we have to eat, or we have to wash our hands before we eat. And so we bridge this certain law with a rule that we made so that we can stand in right standing with our Father. I could see how that could get twisted. But Jesus came to teach a new way. And the Pharisees knew the prophecies. The Pharisees knew that salvation was coming for them. The Pharisees knew that one day they wouldn't have to do this. And Jesus stood right in front of them and said, I'm here. Salvation is here. You have to listen. You have to follow. And they still chose to keep their eyes on their regulations, rules, and idols that they had built. How often is Jesus standing right in front of us and, no, here's the way. This is the way. And we say, yeah, but this is what's comfortable. This is what's been taught. This is the way I've been walking for 20 years. And Jesus said, no, right here. I'm right here. Salvation is right here. The man that you're waiting for is right here. And because we have our eyes turned to the idols over here, we miss the salvation that's right in front of us. Jesus was trying to teach the Pharisees that we're saved by grace and not works. And Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so that none of us can boast about it. I can't imagine the frustrations Jesus was feeling trying to get through to these Pharisees. And sometimes I feel the same way today. of like, listen, hey, we have the truth right in front of us, right? Like we have the word that Jesus said right in front of us, and we still choose to walk the other way. Hey, pay attention. Wake up. Listen to the words that are being said. Jesus is right here. Jesus is trying to give you the truth. Jesus is trying to point you in the right direction. There has to be so much frustration in that. And the hard part about this specific thing that the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus caught up on with the disciples was that this rule of washing your hands before you eat was one of the Jewish leaders' most prominent traditions that had no basis from Scripture. God did not ask this of his people. And we can often fall into the same trap. There is a difference between a personal conviction and a law. And a law that God had given for all people. And let me just give you an example. In my life, God told me when I was very young that I could not drink alcohol. He told me, one of the very few times, in a very audible voice, he said, A.B., you may never drink alcohol. And if I were here and I looked at Stephanie and said, Stephanie, you can't drink alcohol. Did God ask that of Stephanie? No, God asked that of A.B. I can't hold Stephanie to the same things that God has asked me. Is that a law in my life? It is. It's a law. It came straight from God's mouth. So that's a law for A.B. That is not a law for Stephanie. And often we make our personal convictions, our personal laws, into something that we force onto other people, and it causes other people to change direction, to lose focus of Jesus. So we have to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap as those Pharisees. Our second chunk of scripture that we're going to hone in on is Matthew 15, 3-7. And Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your mother and father, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own traditions. When we take our eyes off the sovereignty, the goodness, and the faithfulness of God, it's easy to bow to other idols. It's easy to construct other idols. It's easy to see us over here and God's goodness over there and want to find a way in our own human power to bridge the gap. And we have to be really mindful to not. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. The Lexham Context Commentary summarizes this conversation as follows. I'm going to read it a little slow because it's kind of back and forth. Okay? So hang in there. Jesus refuses to answer the Pharisees' questions, but instead he goes on the offense. He contrasts to breaking the tradition of the elders. Oh, in contrast to breaking the traditions of the elders, Jesus asked why their tradition causes them to break one of God's commandments. Jesus moves to explain his accusation, quoting the Fifth Amendment. Not the amendment, dear God. Commandment. Woo! Not the amendment, the commandment. As well as firmly alluding to Leviticus 29, anyone who dishonors father or mother must be put to death. Such person is guilty of capital offense. Jesus continues to explain his accusation now, summarizing the traditions of the elders. A person could declare to his parents that any benefit they would receive was now devoted as a gift to God instead. This decision benefits the religious establishment instead of one's parents. And through this practice, a person dishonors their parents. Following the traditions of the elders in this case causes one to break the Mosaic law. I believe it's one of the oldest lies that we as human beings fall into, thinking that God isn't good and his timing isn't right. And because of that, we need to bridge the gap. Exodus 32 through 34, the Israelites are sitting in wait for Moses, who is up on Mount Sinai, talking to God, getting the Ten Commandments. And they were unwilling to wait any longer. Moses had been gone for so long, and so long is like a couple of days. So long for the Israelites, a couple of days for those who aren't so dramatic. And he was talking with the Lord. And they were getting the rules and the covenant in place for the Israelites worshiping Yahweh. And the Israelite leaders could not wait any longer. And so they start gathering gold. They start collecting this. And Aaron goes and makes a golden calf idol. And while God and Moses are up on Mount Sinai, God interrupts writing the Ten Commandments and tells Moses what's happening down below. And Moses heard this and threw the tablets. If you didn't know, this had to be written twice because Moses was so upset that he threw these tablets to run down and interrupt what was happening. Moses shatters the tablets, which is such a good symbol for the covenant that Israel was actively breaking. Soundly rebuked by both Moses and Yahweh, Israel then stands in danger of divine abandonment. But because of Israel's hero and the graciousness of God, Israel preserved from this fate. And time again, we saw Israel running to God, God not doing things in the way they wanted or in the timing they wanted, and so they go and turn to something else. I can't imagine the frustration of looking at a group of people who you just saved from slavery. And like not only just saved, like you caused catastrophic events for their freedom. Then you go and split the sea for their freedom. And then just in case that wasn't enough to show how powerful and good and gracious and how much I love you, I'm gonna make sure that I send a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire so that you know exactly where to go. And still that wasn't enough to prove God's goodness to them. And because they could not just sit and wait and be obedient, they had to go and wander the wilderness for 40 years waiting to get to the promise that could have taken them a couple of weeks. God's goodness is never in question, but our faithfulness is. When God doesn't show up when we want, how we want, or with the outcome we want, it's easy to believe that he isn't good and that we need to take control. And in turn, most of the times we end up bowing to things that are not God. And it will always cost us. And my prayer for Hope City in this season is that we take the posture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their story in Daniel 3, you can go read some, but I'm going to hone in specifically when they chose to take a stand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Their heart posture of, this, my God is able to save us from it. He's able to do it. And even if he does it, we won't bow. Hope City, may we take the heart posture like, God, you're able to provide. You're able to pay this bill. You're able to do imaginably more than I could think, ask, or imagine. And even if you don't, I won't bow. God, you're able to save this sick family member who I love, who I am like desperately wanting to see brought to health and restoration. But even if you don't, I won't bow. God, you're able to save me from whatever circumstance that I'm standing in right now that feels impossible. I have no way out. I don't see any other way out. And even if you don't, I won't bow. And if you don't know the ending of that story, Jesus showed up in the fire with them and he pulled them out with not a single burn, scratch, or anything in from that. But the heart posture was, even if he doesn't, I will go out praising. Even if he doesn't, I will stand firm. And then the last chunk that I'm going to hone in on, Matthew 15:7-9, Jesus says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" And Jesus is directly quoting a verse from Isaiah 29:13 here, where the prophet Isaiah says, "The Lord says, 'These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught.'" Listen, friends, don't get too comfortable going through the motions that you convince yourself that you don't need God's grace. Jesus knew that he could quote this scripture from Isaiah. The Pharisees had these books of the Bible memorized. They knew exactly what he was quoting when he said that. And they knew that Jesus was telling them their hearts are far from God. And I believe it's in part of the idols that they made. The commands, the traditions, the rules of man had taken their heart so far away from God that they were like removed, that they couldn't even see past what they had been doing. And I believe that this is very similar to the capital C church today, the big church in America, the big church around the world. When the thoughts of man are central in the church, the worship of men are going to be central in the church. And we have very many churches that the thoughts of men are central, and so the worship of men are central. But as long as the truth of God is central in the church, the worship of God will be centered in the church. A word-saturated church leads to God-glorifying worship. Following God has to be more than physical action. You could stand, we could preach, we could pray, we could worship, you could serve, you could give, and your heart still be far from God. The actions that we do not determine the placement of our hearts. And we have to remember that worship is all about our hearts being lifted high to God. And this comes out of a number of ways. We could admit our brokenness. We could repent over our sin. We could stand in fear and awe before God's greatness. We could have gratitude for his grace and hope in his promise and celebrate his salvation. And all of these represent true worship to God. I'm going to go back to Isaiah here, Isaiah 66:3-4. Isaiah prophesied, and God said, "I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. But those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted. When such people sacrifice a bull, it's no more acceptable than a human sacrifice. And when they sacrifice a lamb, it's as though they had sacrificed a dog. When they bring an offering of grain, they might as well have offered the blood of a pig. And when they burn frankincense, it's as if they had blessed an idol. I will send them great trouble, all the things they feared. For when I called, they did not answer. And when I spoke, they did not listen. They deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what they knew I despised." It's so good, and it's so challenging. And like I said, I'm so thankful that Jesus came so that I don't have to go and sacrifice every time that I sin. But is it worse that I would take Jesus' sacrifice and choose to live in sin and say like, no, I'm in right standing. That's taking advantage of the gift of the grace that was given to us. And friends, our world is tired of hypocritical Christianity. I'm tired of hypocritical Christianity. Just as Jesus was tired of the hypocritical Pharisees. And I believe it's time for our relationship with the Father to be more than actions. It has to be our heart posture. And friends, we can't change the capital C church. But you know what we can change? We can change Hope City. We can change the church in the Rogue Valley. That's where we start. And so we want to see a change. We become the change. And so our heart posture has to evolve. The idols that we've built have to come down. And these idols can look different to every person. But a few that I have come up with is traditions, the rules, the regulation of everyday church. Feelings, fear of man, anxiety, depression, our identity, all of these things, our jobs, our money, sex, all of these things are idols that have become so normal for us. Our comfortability has become an idol. And it's time for us to say, no, you have to fall. If you take my eyes off of Jesus, you can't stand. It's time, church. It's time. And this one, it's going to step on some toes a little bit, and that's okay. Not knowing your Bible or knowing it and choosing to follow man-made directions will not be a valid excuse when you answer to God. It won't. God won't sit here and be like, oh, I know, sweetie. I know they told you to do all of these things and you just had to do them. I get it. No. The Word of God is the most accessible that it has ever been. Ever. You could go to Walmart and have your pick of choices between the 30 translations that we have. And not only that, not only is the Word of God more accessible than ever, and like you think we had a rough, the Old Testament people had to memorize and tell stories to their kids for them to get the Bible. But not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit alive and inside of us. We have the most access to God of any other people because of Jesus' sacrifice. And we would still sit and say, I didn't know. No, you didn't know because you chose not to know. And it's time to take a stand. And it's time to make a change. And it's time to say, no, no, no. If your name is anything other than God, I don't bow. I refuse to bow. And so as we close today, I have two things. First is maybe you're in this room and you say, Pastor Avi, I want to have my heart posture towards God, but I haven't even started a relationship with him. With all eyes open, with all heads up, because I believe God is imparting boldness in his church in this time. Listen, I don't know about you, but based on what I have read in this book, we don't have much time left. I don't know how much time we have left, but I know it's not much. And so God's imparting boldness and courage into his people. And so right now I'm going to ask in a step of boldness, if you're like, Pastor Avi, I need to accept Jesus into my heart. I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anyone in this room? Yeah, one. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Hey, listen. All of heaven rejoices for the two people who chose to follow Jesus today. And all of Hope City rejoices. I'm passionate, friends. I'm passionate about reaching the Rogue Valley. I'm passionate about changing the face of Christianity in the Rogue Valley because for too long, we've allowed the rules and regulations to turn people's gaze off of Jesus. And all people need is to hear about the loving God. And so I'm ready. I'm excited when people choose to follow Jesus. And today I'm going to just ask all of us to repeat this. Dear Jesus, Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for seeing me as worthy, even when I didn't see that myself. Jesus, today, I invite you in. I say, you are Lord of my life. And I invite you to drive today. I'll ride. My life is yours. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.